This morning, as we prepare to spend time together in God's Word, I'd like to invite you to once again reach for your worship bulletin. And if you would, go ahead and turn to the back inside portion of your bulletin. There you'll find a place for you to take some sermon notes. I trust that the Lord will lay something on your heart today as we spend time together in God's Word, something that He ultimately desires for you and for me to take out with us so that our faith can be vibrant, alive, and ultimately reflective of the relationship that we have with our Lord and Savior Jesus by grace through faith. There you also see a place with sermon take-home reflections. Hopefully, in our prayer is that those things will add to the sermon that we'll hear today and ultimately guide your devotional time this week as you spend more time with our Lord. This morning, I wanted to start things off by offering you an interactive portion to our sermon this morning. Yay! Let's warm up our minds and our thinking process. This morning, what I'd like for you to do is I'd like for you to put in your mind a family member or a close friend, just one person, all right? So real quickly, think of one person from your family or maybe a close friend. That could be someone sitting next to you, behind you, in front of you. Do you have that person? You have them? You picture them, right? You got the face, right? All right, now let me ask you this question. What does it take to get his or her attention? I know what you're thinking, Pastor, we don't have enough time this morning, right? I got somewhere I got to be in like 3 hours, right? Yeah. Or maybe the response is, well, it probably depends what he or she is up to, right? For example, how easy is it to get their attention when you're watching the World Series, right? Easy? Oh, yeah, you have my undivided attention, right? Or maybe as he or she is involved in another project, like maybe home repairs, how easy is it to get their attention? Easy or difficult? How about if they're paying the bills, taking care of the kids, cutting the grass, processing through something heavy? How easy is it to get his or her attention? Last week, as we continued in our journey through the story, which is ultimately a journey through God's Word from Genesis to Revelation in a chronological order, we saw that God used his messengers, known as prophets, to get the attention of God's people. There were key relationship moments where God's people could go one of two ways. They could go this way and continue in their relationship with the Lord, faithfully walking with him and showing other people who he is. Or they could go this way and drop right off the guardrail. And so in the interest of a relationship with his people, God would put these messengers, these prophets before them to direct them, to guide their actions, their behaviors, their attitude, and their faith life. So in other words, stop. Don't keep going this way. It's not going to work out for you. Or do not enter here, right? And we've seen these signs. We see them every day. But time and again, God would set his word before the people, and sometimes that was received with mixed results. So God kicked it up a notch, and he put a flesh and blood person, just like you and me, in somebody's path to redirect them. Caution, don't go this way anymore. It's not going to work out for you. It's not going to be good for you, your wife, your family. Don't go this way. Go back this way. Back this way is a fruitful relationship with the Lord. If you go this way any further, it's not good. So time and again, God would use his prophets in a way to get their attention. In other words, stop, hello, attention. Today, as we continue with our journey through God's word and with our message today, we're going to see how God continued out of a grace and loving, grace-filled loving heart. God continued to set these attention getters before his people. And we're going to learn today how God does that for you and for me, how God strategically puts attention getters in your life and in mine in the interest of our relationship with him, but also with others. So with that said, what I'd like to do at this time is I'd like to invite you to turn your attention to the screen for today's sermon video and look and listen in for the ways in which God is trying to get the attention of his people. Let's take a look.
In the northern kingdom, Israel, The people continued to turn their backs on God. So God allowed them to be taken prisoner by the nearby country of Assyria. Meanwhile, in the southern kingdom, Judah, there was a new king named Hezekiah, who was only 25 years old. Hezekiah followed God's ways, removing the idols to false gods. God helped him be successful in all he did. The king of Assyria, who had recently taken over Israel, sent one of his commanders to threaten Hezekiah, telling him that God would not protect Judah from Assyria's attack. So Hezekiah went to a prophet named Isaiah for help. Isaiah was a man who God had spoken through many times. Isaiah assured Hezekiah that God would help them defeat the Assyrians. Late that night, the angel of the Lord went through the Assyrian camp and killed 185,000 people. The next morning, the remaining Assyrians retreated, terrified. Soon after, Isaiah reminded the Israelites that they were to follow God in all they did. But the people turned away from God again and again, and things continued to get worse for them as a nation. Despite their disobedience, God delivered a promise through Isaiah that a new king and a new kingdom was coming for the Israelites. Isaiah spoke of a man who would one day be rejected by those around him and suffer a terrible death. But somehow, through his death, this man would bring peace and a kingdom that would never end.
I'm not sure who that guy is, but I think we need to get him signed up for arts and crafts for Vacation Bible School next summer, right? Man, where was that guy when I had my art project in high school and college? Whew. All right, anyway. Last couple of weeks, we've been taking a look once again at the relationship of God's people with the Lord himself. And once again, we saw in a number of different ways and situations and relationship junctions, God would once again put a sign in front of God's people to direct them in going one of two ways or a number of ways. And once again, God would use his spokesmen, these messengers, these prophets to redirect the hearts and minds of God's people. And there were times when they would blow right past those signs, right past those people, onto a path of destruction and relational brokenness, if I could put it that way, a spiritual toxicity. But there are also times when God's people would get it and they'd go a different way. Not long ago, we take a look at David's son, Solomon, the wise guy himself, right? And we saw how even Solomon himself, the wisest man on earth, still struggled with whether or not to have a divided heart. So in other words, to follow the Lord wholeheartedly or to have a split heart that saw him devoted to the Lord some of the time and maybe to other things, other idols, other world religions, the other part of the time. As a result, we saw that God's kingdom of Israel was split in two. People were shot up to the north, known as the northern kingdom of Israel. People were left in the south, known as the southern kingdom of Judah. And as we track along in the story and in God's word, the question that's begged of us is this: will God's people finally get it? So in other words, will they finally catch hold of the attention getters and the signs God is laying out time and time again? Or are they just going to blow right past them down a path of destruction, a bumpy road full of potholes, worse than any roads in Fort Wayne, Indiana? What will they do? Sadly enough, we learned that with the northern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, Israel's response in a lot of ways was this: Lord, thanks, but no thanks. Thanks for sending your prophets. Thanks for sending your messages. Thanks for trying to redirect me in my life, trying to get me away from brokenness and messes and chaos. Thanks for doing that, but no thanks. I think we're going to keep going this way. And what we heard, and hopefully what you heard and saw in our video today, is that the result of that was the consequence that God's people were finally taken away from their homeland, taken away as a result of their continued idolatry, their worship of other false gods, religions, and so forth. Time and now, once again, make no mistake, and to be very clear, God would send his messengers, prophets, and these signs, these attention getters, into the lives of the people because he loved them and cared for them, and he didn't want them to fall into a place of relational and spiritual brokenness with him. But once again, the attitude of the north was, Lord, thanks but no thanks. Don't need you, don't want you. We'll figure things out on our own. And we heard today how well that worked out for them. In the south, through godly men like King Hezekiah, the attitude of the people was a little bit different. The attitude, when given an intention getter, a sign, a prophet, a message from the Lord, God's word was this: seek the Lord. So in other words, when God sent a corrective word into their life, the response was, look, I'm not God, you are. Help me to do what you're asking me to do. We see such a stark difference here, don't we? On the one hand, it's, Lord, thanks, but no thanks. Don't need you, don't want you. I'll figure things out on my own. But then over here, it's, Lord, you're right. You're God, I'm not. I'm struggling with what that means for my life right now, but it's undeniable that you are God. So I need you to take the reins of my life right now and lead me through this chapter of life. See, such a stark difference. Let me take a moment to give you a snapshot of who this King Hezekiah guy is and what kind of heart he modeled for his family and for the people of Judah in the south. Let me share this with you. 2 Kings chapter 18. In the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 29 years. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. He removed the high places, smashed the sacred stones, and cut down the Asherah poles. He broke into pieces the bronze snake Moses had made, for up to that time the Israelites had been burning incense to it. It was called Nehushtan. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. He held fast to the Lord and did not stop following him. He kept the commands the Lord had given Moses, and the Lord was with him. He was successful in whatever he undertook. He rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. Now, once again, I set this before you to give you a great example of what it looks like to respond when God comes a-knocking with an attention getter, whether it's a prophet or a sign or another person or his word or his Holy Spirit. The response is, once again, seek the Lord. Just to share with you a little bit more about Hezekiah's life, he comes to a point in his life where he's struck with this life-threatening illness. And his response is, once again, seek the Lord. The Assyrians come a-knocking. They took down the nation in the north of Israel, and now they came down to Judah. And they said, we're going to do to you what we did to them. We're going to pull you off to our country with fish hooks through your nose, and we're going to make life miserable for you in our place. But yet when that happens to Hezekiah and the people of Jerusalem, his response is, once again, seek the Lord. In so many different ways, so many different points, relationship contexts, contexts as a leader, contexts in the city, city life, community life, so many different arenas, Hezekiah has the opportunity to do one of two things. He can carry in his life the attitude of, yeah, thanks, but no thanks, Lord. I'll figure it out on my own. Or he can do the other, which is sometimes the more difficult, which says, I don't get this, but you're telling me seek you. One Lord, one people, two different responses. Let me pause and ask you this question this morning. As God has been seeking to get our attention recently, what's been our response? So in other words, as you think back to the relationships that you have currently in your life, when things come up that don't make sense, things that cause you struggles, strifes, hardships, heartaches, spiritual heartburn, what's your response? Thanks, but no thanks, Lord, or seek the Lord. When something happens for you at work that doesn't make sense, when your coworkers push your buttons or there's that one person, and you know who it is, makes it difficult for you to want to go to work this week, what's your response? Thanks, but no thanks, Lord. But seek the Lord. God, guide me through this. when you find yourself at the receiving end of medical news that you didn't see coming, or maybe a bill finds its way in your mailbox and you're wondering where the money's going to come from, what's your response? Thanks, but no thanks, Lord. I don't need you. I'll figure this out on my own. Or seek the Lord. I'm not you. And right now, I need your help. What's been our attitude recently? What's been our response if things have come our way, come right down the pipe towards us, like a 90-mile-an-hour fastball from a Chicago Cubs pitcher? What's been our response? What's been the response of our heart? If we take a look at Scripture, we see that God is very interested in using meaningful and tangible attention getters. Next Sunday, we kick off the season of Advent, and that's a season of celebrating the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus, the birth. God Himself comes wrapped in flesh and blood to His people, an attention getter of attention getters, a king born not in a palace, but in a stable. I grew up on a family farm, and I'm not sure I'd want to put a baby in a stable or a manger. Doesn't smell too good, does not scream cleanliness, and yet God Himself, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, attention getter, in a stable and a manger. Some people got it, some didn't. Jesus continues. If we track along with Jesus' ministry, we see mind-blowing feedings of 5,000s. We see healings of people with leprosy, skin disease, blindness, deafness, persecution, mental illness, and so forth. We see Jesus' masterful authority over creation itself, causing storms to stop at His word. We see Jesus unpack the heart of God's word as it was intended to be lived out. We see Jesus raise the dead. Talk about attention getters, right? I tried to feed a small group once. I ran out of food. Jesus, how do you do this? Talk about attention getters that point back to God. Seek God. If that wasn't enough, God Himself died on the cross for you and for me. We heard this from our gospel reading today. Two men crucified with Jesus, one on His right, one on His left. One got the attention getter, the other didn't. Soldiers passing by mocking Him, spitting on Him, throwing things on Him. The crowds, the religious leaders, people are supposed to be telling others what it means to have a relationship with God, now mocking Jesus. Talk about people either getting the attention getter from God or completely missing it. Having the thanks but no thanks God attitude or the I need this right now. I need you. And if that wasn't enough, Jesus, in a big way, gives us the attention getter of life after death. Resurrection. Promise for you and for me by grace through faith. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we have the promise of eternal life. Something we don't have to work towards or earn or try to be our best self or have some kind of religious scorecard. But God gives that to you and to me freely on Jesus' account. Talk about an attention getter. Amen? What about today? What does God do for us today? Let me share with you. We saw this month. God gets our attention right here. When the waters of holy baptism pass over your head and mine, and God, through the working of the Holy Spirit, calls us by name and draws us into His family in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Talk about an attention getter. And if that wasn't enough, God comes here today Himself with His body and blood and the bread and the wine for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. Jesus Himself meets us here by grace through faith. Talk about an attention getter. Amen. And if that wasn't enough, friends, God comes to this city through you and through me. People who don't always get it right, people who struggle with things, but people who have a big God who's able to cover and carry the brokenness, the hurt, the pain, the finances, the illness, the struggles, the things that don't make sense. God calls you and me, puts us in a place to be an attention getter so that when people see you and me, they see Jesus. And that's a good thing. This week, I wonder what that'll look like for you and for me to be the attention getter that points somebody else back to Jesus. Maybe when we go home today, what will that look like for you to be an attention getter for your family? So in other words, to model the grace and forgiveness of Jesus to your spouse, your son or your daughter, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister. What will that look like for you to be the attention getter this week at school where you're receiving the education, but yet you're also reflecting to your teachers and to your classmates who Jesus is? What would it look like to be that kind of attention getter that causes someone to stop and say, there's something different about that person. I got to know what it is. And you can tell them it's Jesus. What will it look like for you to be the attention getter this week at work? When someone's pushing your buttons in your face, or as the kids say, in your grill, right? What will it look like for you to be the attention getter this week so that when someone sees you, they see Jesus? What would it look like for us to be that kind of church? Let me close with this question. This week, as God seeks to get your attention through decisions, activities, behaviors, relationships, things that don't make sense, what will our response be? And how will our response reflect one of these two options? Thanks, but no thanks, Lord. Or in this moment, in this situation, I seek him. May God lead us to seek his face, not just today, but for the rest of our lives. Amen.